You're listening to the New Hope Church podcast. To learn more about what we're doing on the south side of Indianapolis, you can check us out online at becomehope.com. If you like what you're hearing here, be sure you check out one of our companion podcasts. We have a daily devotional podcast called Let's Find Out Together, as well as an apologetics podcast called Salty Saints. Let's listen in as today's talk comes from Randy Spate.
My name is Randy. I'm one of the pastors here at New Hope. We have just finished one series, a series about Esther. Today we begin a new series. The title of this series is Greater Love. As we're entering Easter season, we thought this year, instead of talking about the details surrounding the actual crucifixion and the resurrection, we'd talk about what lies behind it. We'd talk about the why of Easter. Why did Jesus come to die for us? Greater love. Greater love is what drove Jesus to the cross. Now we see this all over the Bible. Probably nowhere is it clearer than in a scripture portion that you have probably memorized. John 3, we're going to read from 16 to 19. The New Living Translation says, "This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. So we start out the passage. We hear of God's love. Jesus came to the cross simply because God loved the world. Now, one would think that that would evoke a response of love from us. But instead, John goes on to say that people loved the darkness more than the light. That's a theme that occurs over and over and over again in the Bible. God loves us, and we ignore God. We go our own merry way. Now, one of the reasons that I think that occurred back then, and ultimately occurs even today, one of the reasons is because this image of God is so very different from what we've come to expect. There were many other gods in the world that Jesus lived in. There were Roman gods. There were pagan gods. And the one thing you notice about them is you never hear that those gods loved their followers. Zeus doesn't love his worshipers. He uses his worshipers. The pagan gods don't love their worshipers. The pagan gods accept their worship. But the worship is simply offered to appease God so that God doesn't do something nasty to them. It's not a love relationship. Now, Jesus is talking to a crowd of Jews. Even in the Old Testament, God's love is not a major theme. It was Chris McFall that pointed out to me that there is only one verse in the Old Testament where God says, I love you. And that occurs in the prophets. That's fairly late. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is patient. But we don't hear about God's love for us very much. On the other hand, in the New Testament, it's all over the place. Even Jesus' disciples had trouble understanding God's love. John 13:1, the very night of the Last Supper, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth. Now, he loved them to the very end. And what was their response about 6 hours later? They abandoned him. They all abandoned him. One of them betrayed him. Jesus loved to the very end. And the disciples struggled until the very end to understand what that love was. Just a few verses later, we see this verse. Jesus says, so now, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus sets a pattern for us. He says, not just love God, but love each other. And love each other in the way that I have loved you. Now you know, in the Old Testament, in the Roman world, in the pagan world, we see that God loving us is the very opposite of what the people understood. We also see that love for each other was the very opposite of how they were living. People didn't love each other. People used other people. People accepted friendship from other people. But they didn't know what it was to love like God loves. John carries this idea forward in his letters. Later on in the book of 1 John, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Now, what John is saying is fairly clear. Nobody has ever seen God, but they see us. So if we love like God loved us, they will see God's love. But they see it in us and working through us. We learn how to love by observing the way that God loves us. And then we turn that love around and we love those who are around us with that same type of love. Now, it's worthwhile for us to talk a little bit about love, about the words that are used for love. You may have heard this before, but you're going to hear this again. There are four words that the biblical authors could have used to talk about God's love. But they choose this word, the word agape. The word agape is not a common word before the New Testament. It is rarely used. Of the four possible choices they had, this is the least common word. So let's look at the other three first. The first of the other three is this word, the word storgos. Now, in Greek, this refers to love in a family. It doesn't occur in the Bible. It only occurs in the negative sense. Twice, biblical authors talks about those who have no love of family. And the translation in almost all of the translations is simply unloving. Love of family. That's a powerful love. The love of a mother for their children. Even the love of a mother for children who stray away. That's a powerful love. We do strange things because we love our children. I can remember working in Columbia. Two ladies talking, and both of them had children who were not respecting them. They were living for themselves. And as they were talking to each other, it became very, very clear. This mother, to her son, was still loving him, still providing for him, still caring for him. But when she looked at the son of her friend, she would say, "You ought to just throw him out of the house. He's treating you horribly." He was doing the very same thing that her son was doing. But it wasn't her son. So she looked at that situation and said, "Get rid of him. Throw him out. That's what he deserves." The other mother would say, "I can't do that. He's my son." This love says, "I love you because I'm related to you. But if I'm not related to you, not so much." The second word is this, eros. Eros is the name of the Greek god of love. Again, it doesn't occur in the Bible. It occurs probably in a couple of names, but that's the only place. At no place does the Bible really talk about it. Eros is love, frequently romantic love, that is expressed toward another person because the other person pleases them. It says, "I love you because you please me." Now, I'm going to show you my age by talking about an actress who probably hasn't been in a movie for about 40 years. Her name is Bo Derek. Does that name mean anything to you? So, yeah. Everybody with white hair is raising their hands. Bo Derek was married to John Derek. The one I want to talk about is actually John. John Derek was married four times. He married an Italian young lady, and about 8 years into that relationship, he divorced her, and he married Ursula Andress. Now, from James Bond, from Dr. No, right? That was her breakthrough film, and she went on to star in a lot of other films. He was with her for about 8 years, and he divorced her and married Linda Evans. Now, again, heads are going this way. You know Linda Evans. She was an actress. And the amazing thing is that if you look at a picture of Linda Evans when she was 18, she looks like Ursula Andress when she was 18. Who looks like his Italian wife when she was 18. He stayed married to Linda Evans for about 8 years, and then he divorced her and married Bo Derek, who looks like Linda Evans when she was 18. In an interview, they asked Bo Derek about her husband, and they said, "Do you realize that your husband has divorced his wife after about 8 years and marries someone who is the carbon copy of his previous wife, but an 18-year-old version of his wife?" She said, "I know. But for now, my life is good." They actually stayed married until his death. I love you because you please me. And if you reach the point that you no longer please me, all bets are off. There's another kind of love. Philos. Now, we get this in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philos is the love of friends or the love of brothers. This actually occurs in the Bible. It occurs around 20, 25 times. One of the most powerful ones is when Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, discovers that Lazarus has been dead for several days. He asks to be shown the tomb. They take him to the tomb, and Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." It's this word, philos. See the kind of friendship love that he had for him? Friendship love is interesting. It says, "I love you because you love me back." But you know what's funny about that is if we get to the point, for whatever reason, that we stop reciprocating that love, that's it. Now, in the first three words, "I love you because," I love you because I'm related to you, "I love you because you please me, I love you because you love me back," then we come to the word agape. I mentioned before that outside of the New Testament, this word is barely used. But this word occurs, the verb, 322 times in the New Testament, the noun, 116 times. It's all over. You can barely turn a page without reading about God's love for us. And it's this kind of love. What's different about this kind of love? It's brand new. It's different. It's something that we haven't seen before. I believe that the New Testament authors used this word. They took a word that was little used because they could fill that word with meaning. What makes this love different? It's kind of summarized in this verse from John 15:13. It's here that we get the name of this sermon. "No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends." That's what Jesus did. He came and he laid down his life for us. And he laid down his life for us before we were lovable. He did it while we were rebellious. This love is God saying to us, "I love you, period." There's no reason for it. There's no conditions attached to it. I love you because it is in my nature to love. This is unmerited love. This is what happens when God loves us. And the only way that we can learn that love is by seeing that love in God. If we want to learn to live, love, and go like Jesus, then we need to learn from God's love. How did God love us? First of all, He was interested in us. He became one of us. He left where He was to come to where we were. And being where we were, He loved us. He loved us by serving us. He didn't love us with words. He loved us with His actions. He provided for those who were hungry. He healed those who were sick. He served us. And then He gave His life for us. So we learn from God's love, and we too love in that very same way. We follow the pattern that Jesus gave us. We are to show interest in those who are around us. A Christian is not an isolationist. A Christian gets involved. A Christian reaches out to those who are around us because love starts with interest in other people. We go where they are. Now, we could invite them to come in to be where we are on a Sunday morning. But love goes where they are. Love searches them out, finds them, spends time with them. Love serves. Reach out to somebody, find out what they need. Try to meet that need. That's service. Give your life to them. Now, that's not necessarily giving up your physical life, although if you have ever met Jeremy Pell, fire chief of the station right here next door, he has John 15:13 tattooed on his right arm, and he wears short sleeve shirts so you can see it. I was talking to him one time. I knew what it said, but I said, "Jeremy, Chief Pell, why?" He said, "Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends." He said, "In my line of work, I might do that at any time. And I'm willing because Jesus loved me that way." That is what greater love is about. We observe God's love for us, and then we love others with that same type of love. So who can we love? The band's going to come back up. We're going to move in a few short minutes into communion. But as they come, let's think about what the Lord has been saying to us this morning. Who in your life needs to see God's love? Whoever it is has a great way to see God's love. They're going to see it through you. So what can you do to show them God's love? When will you do that? And who will you tell to hold you accountable to do that? Lord Jesus, loving in the way that you love us is something that we could never do except for you. But you've loved us in this way, and you tell us to love others in that very same way. So help us love. Help us, first of all, to learn how to love. And then, Lord, show us who in our life needs to experience that love right now. Open the doors for us to be able to share your love with them. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Hope Church podcast. If you would do us a favor and like or subscribe on your favorite platform, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you happen to have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at questions@becomehope.com. Have a great week, and know that we are praying for you as you seek to be Jesus in every corner of your world.